Take your Bibles, if you would, turn to 1 Peter chapter number 1. 1 Peter chapter number 1. If you have your Bibles, hope you'll open them up and follow along with us today as we share with you from the Word of God. Again, what a blessed it is to see you each and everyone here today. These are the summer months, and I know there'll be a lot of people vacationing. In fact, we've got folks out of town. I know Tommy Becky's out of town and maybe some others that I don't know about, but if you would, pray for them, those that will be traveling. But again, I appreciate those of you that will be faithful in your place when you're home and not away, and we're looking forward to a great summer. Trust the Lord. And don't forget, on August the 30th, we're having Small Paul. Now, when I say Small Paul, I'm talking about a man that's almost 7 feet tall. And we'll have a great time together. He's a great Bible teacher. Kids just grab a hold of everything he says, and the adults ought to, too. But if you would, plan to be here for that. That'll be on a Wednesday night. If you have your Bibles, 1 Peter chapter number 1, I'll begin reading verse number 1, and I'll read my text down through verse number 5. The Bible said, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bethania, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by a resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Our Father, Lord, we do thank you today for the privilege and the opportunity we have to open your word. Lord, what powerful scripture that we've just read. We thank you, Lord, for your blessings that you bestow upon us every day. And I pray that you would guide and direct in everything we do say today. May your name be exalted, lifted up, and glorified. And we'll thank you for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray. Amen. Let me ask you the question, have you heard any good news today? Well, if you were listening when I read, you heard some good news, but I'm not talking about here. I'm talking about outside in the world. Do you hear much good news that comes our way? If you listen to the media and the news, if they begin to talk and tell you about all the terrible things that are going on. In fact, I've had some people tell me that I've quit watching the news because it depresses me. And today we think about all the depressing things that go. We find out the economy is in difficulty. We're sinking lower and lower in education standards. Our morals are down and the spiritual ladder. With every day that passes, it seems that we're hearing the news of how bad things are. Just to give you an instance, the biggest news I heard yesterday was Utah has banned Bibles in a public school in the elementary and junior high. They banned the Bible, they say, because of its sexual content. I'm going to tell you today, we're living in a bad day, and all you hear is bad things. However, when you begin to hear bad things, and you begin to think about your own problems, the things you're going to, that's a double whammy on you and kind of knocks you in the head as you see things along the way. And so what happens is, we hear all the bad things, and then we experience some bad things, and we're not able to handle it. But I want to say today that you have every reason to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. Today we can be thankful that there's something to rejoice in, and I believe the passage of Scripture gives us that. Sometimes we're guilty of allowing the world around us to steal our joy. I don't believe today, I don't care how bad things are, God's still good. It makes no difference what things happen around about us. God is still good. We can trust Him. We can depend on Him. And He'll supply our every need. God has never failed, and neither will He. God has never made a mistake, and neither will He. And so today we can rejoice in what He's doing. Now, Peter is writing. In fact, I've been going through this on Wednesday night, some things you can add to your faith, but I'm going to go back and expound a little bit on these verses today. But Peter is writing, if you notice, he's writing to strangers that are scattered abroad. These are Jewish believers who have been forced to leave their homeland, and they're being persecuted for it. I don't know today in America that any of us know what persecution is. I'm grateful the day may be coming, and it seems like it might be. Another young man in Canada the day was arrested for passing out Bibles, and they arrested him and took him to jail along with some of the protesters. But again, it's a bad time to think about what's going on. But obviously, most of us know nothing much about persecution. But these Jewish believers did. So Peter's writing them, and he was trying to encourage them in their faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. And in encouraging them, the first five verses I just read today are quite encouraging. Now, thinking about it, he's talking about these strangers, and they're living in a time of a backdrop of pain and suffering, and he wants to encourage them in their faith. And in the midst of their trials, in the midst of their persecution, in the midst of what they was going through, he said, hey, you still have something to rejoice about. And today, as a child of God, as long as we're on this earth, we have something to rejoice about because we know God has prepared a place for us. And one reason we have rejoicing that we need to depend on, it lies in the text. He said we're strangers. The word stranger means one who travels through a strange land. You know what that tells me? Listen, this is not heaven. This is not my dwelling place. This is not where I'm going to be forever. Thank God I'm just passing through. I don't know how much longer I've got along the path, but I know that one day I'm going home to be with the Lord Jesus Christ because my citizenship is in heaven. And if you've been born again, your citizenship is in heaven also. And Peter was reminding them, hey, even though you're being persecuted, even though you're being scattered abroad, even though you're going through what you're going through, just be reminded that you are not home yet. Friend, today we're not home yet until God calls us home. And whatever day that might be, we need to be ready. I've used the illustration, I won't go in detail, but Henry Morrison, a great missionary to Africa for 44 years, was coming home after completing his 44 years of service. There was a president, I don't remember which one it was, but there was a president that was on the boat as they came back from Africa. When they got back to the home shore, he saw throngs and crowds of people cheering and clapping. And again, he said, what's all this about? And they said, there's a president that's on board our ship, and those people are there to welcome him home. He began to look around, and the only person he could find standing on the dock was his wife. He went out to his wife, and of course she told him there was nobody else there. And he was a little bit down. He was kind of went home a little sad. And he sat down, and he said, you know, a man can give 44 years of his life for the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, and yet only his wife will come to welcome him home. But a president can go all over the world and come back, and he'll have throngs of people welcome him. His wife undoubtedly was more spiritual than he, as many times the cases are. But his wife was more spiritual, and she said to him, his name was Harry, she said, Harry, just remember, you're not home yet. And I tell you, think about that grand today. I believe there's going to be a great welcoming committee when we enter into the gates of glory and spend with the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, in America, there's going to be persecution. There's battles to fight. There's rivers to ford. There's valleys to cross. There's dark nights to endure. There's pain and suffering along the way. But in the turmoil, in the midst of all of it around about us, it's easy to lose perspective of where we're going. As a child of God, friend, my hope is not in this world. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can salvage or save our country. He's the only one today that can save and salvage the world. And believe me, it's not just our country, but all around the world. There's all things that are happening around about, and so many things that we could get real discouraged about. But I'm telling you today, as a child of God, we ought to have the joy of the Lord. The Bible said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we're going to be strong, if we're going to win people to Christ, if we're going to get people to come to trust Christ, even as we did, we must extend to them the joy and rejoicing that there is in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to give you three thoughts this morning on why we have every reason in the world to rejoice. The first thing we need to remember is to remember God's grace. I tell you today, the Bible says in verses 2 and 3, he said, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace multiplied. He said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you're saved today, it's not because of anything you did. It's all about what Jesus did for you on the cross of Calvary by extending grace to you and I in order that we might be saved. The first thing I want you to notice from these two verses is we have been chosen by God. He uses the words that is quite common in the Scripture. He said, the elect according to the foreknowledge of God. Now, I know today there's the hyper-Calvinists that say, well, who's going to be saved will be saved. There's nothing we can do to get saved. And I don't agree with that because the Bible said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I'm grateful today that God in his foreknowledge, you say, well, what does that mean? It means that God's sovereign and God knows everything. And yes, God knows who will be saved and who will not be saved, but God gives it the choice to the person, the individual, to make that decision. But I want you to know today, we've been chosen by God. If you're saved today, you've been chosen by God. I believe when God chose me years ago, I believe even before I was born, he knew about me, even as he did Jeremiah. But God put me in the place where one day I would hear the word of God. And I believe today that he desires everyone get to that place to where they at least hear the word of God and are able to make the right decision in doing what is right according to his will. It's because God chose you in Jesus before the world began, and salvation is a work of grace. So we've been chosen by God, but it goes on in verse 2 to say we have been called by God. Notice the word that he uses there in verse 2, through sanctification of the Spirit. When Brother Tim Thompson was here, he brought a great message on justification and sanctification. We think about those words. Justification means declared righteous. Sanctification means set apart for God and to God along the way and along our journey. But we have been called by God. Speaking of sanctification, once we get saved, we're to live a life that is pleasing to him. Now, there's not a single person in this room that deserves to be saved. There's nobody here today that deserves the sanctification that God gives us. But I can tell you this, nobody is ever saved apart from the sanctifying Spirit of the Lord. When God saved us, he set us apart. He set us apart from the world, and he set us apart to Christ in order that we might become more like him. And I'm grateful today he declared us a holy vessel. One that is a vessel unto honor and vessel unto glory. We should praise the Lord for his sanctifying power. Somebody said, I can't live the Christian life. If you're saved, you can, because he gives you the sanctifying power that you need to draw you closer to him in all that you do. But not only are we chosen by God, and not only are we being called of God, but we have been cleansed by God. According to Peter, God did not stop with his choosing or his calling, but he's also cleansed us when it comes to faith in Jesus Christ. The precious blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary was to wash away our sin. I like the songs, What Can Wash Away My Sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains. I'm glad today for Calvary. I'm glad today for the blood that Jesus shed in order that we might have salvation. No sinner deserves the precious blood of Christ but to be shed, but it's the grace of God which led Jesus Christ to the cross of Calvary to die for our sin. It was grace which caused Jesus to take upon himself the sins of the world. It was grace which parted his parched lips as he uttered three remarkable words from the cross which changed eternity when he bowed his head and he cried, it is finished. Christ's blood has been shed, and listen to me, any sinner, it's available to them if they'll partake of it and be cleansed by it and washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Peter tells us that in the death of Christ, in effect, came the new birth. The Bible said if any man be saved, of course he becomes a new creature in Christ. Old things are passed away and all things become new. You see, when we was born with a deformity. Now when I say deformity, I'm not speaking in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. Everybody that was born in this world a sinner. the deformity of spiritual deformity. Yet we were born with a nature that was warped by sin. We were born into a world where all humans are born, into a very vile, and we were dirty, rotten sinners. People don't like that. They say, when I go to church, I don't want you to tell me I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. Well, I'm friendly. If you're a dirty, rotten sinner, that's what we need to tell you you are, because you need to be cleansed in the blood of Jesus Christ. All humans are born into this world that way. Friend, there's nobody ever born. Many times I've asked people, are you saved? Are you a Christian? Yes. How long have you been a Christian? All my life. That's just not true. Fact is, you're not a Christian when you're born in this world. And you're not a Christian as long as you live in this world without Christ. But the day you become saved and born again by the Spirit of God, you can be saved by His grace, but your continuous living in sin is your choice. It's not God's choice, it's your choice. And as a result of sin, we are separated from God. You realize today, I'm thankful for my relationship with God. And I'm not saying my relationship is perfect by any means, and I don't believe anybody's relationship is perfect. But I can tell you this, if you have a relationship with God, you know that He saves us. He knows that He washes us in His blood. We know that as we go through life and go through the journey, that He watches over us. And only continuing in sin or ignoring what He's done, we're separated from God. I'm thankful today that I have access through the throne of God. And so do you if you're saved. You have access to Him. But the Bible said the lost man does not have access to God. The only access he has to God is when he puts his faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, confesses his sin, and is saved and born again by the Spirit of God. Jesus was born, He lived, and He died to change our situation. I tell you, I'm glad to say today, not what ought to be, but I'm not what I used to be. Thank God, by the grace of God, what a change, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. When we get saved, we get a brand new start. All our sins are forever forgiven. Isn't that wonderful to think about? Somebody said, well, even the sins that we're going to commit in the future, yes, we need to confess those sins. He'll be faithful and just to forgive you those sins, but His blood was sufficient to save us from our past sins, our present sin, and our future sin if we cry out to Him. And then it talks about in 1 John that we're adopted into the family of God. I tell you how exciting it must be to get adopted into a family if you don't have a family. The wonderful thought and the blessing of that. But to think today, according to 1 John 3, verse 1 through 3, we've been adopted into the family of God. I'm a child of the King, if you will. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been placed and able to sit and eat at the King's table. Maybe not physical food, but I'm able to eat spiritual food, which He has given to me. Then we discover when we get saved that we have a name, our name, written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I tell you today, I'm glad that my name is written down. How sad it would be today to die in your sin. And He looked in the book and said, sorry, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. We should praise God today for His cleansing power. Thank God, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. The product of all God's work is one thing that we read in our scripture in verse number 3. The Bible said in the latter part of the verse, hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I'm glad today that I don't serve a dead God. I'm glad today that He ever liveth to make intercession for me. I'm glad today that He's seated at the right hand of the Father to give me everything that I need. And my hope is not in this world. My hope is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some pin their hopes on their 401k plan. How's that been working out for you? They've taken quite a plunge. Some have hope in the stock market. And again, people make big money in the stock market, but it seems like, it can be here today and gone tomorrow. Some have their hope in their health. And some have their hope in their family. And there's nothing wrong with having it, but listen, your health can fail tomorrow. There's no guarantee of another day. We never know when the moment may come. We never know how long our family is going to be with us. And we ought to understand that God is in control of all that. And how in the world can we trust the world? We need to trust God, because God and only God can meet the needs that we have in our life. You see, when the New Testament uses the word hope, it doesn't refer to something that we're fond of or even that we desire. But when he refers to hope, he's speaking of a confident assurance based on the Word of God and the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead that produces an excited response. I tell you, that right there ought to make us want to rejoice, because I have confidence assurance today in this book. I tell you today, there's no other book in the world that means as much to me as this book, and there's no other book as powerful in the world as this book, God's Holy Word. We speak of our hope in heaven. We're not talking about a mythological place. We know where we're going because he tells us it's a sure thing. It's not pie in the sky one day. The world may be in turmoil today, but those who are saved, we possess hope which is out of this world. And this alone is enough to shout about. But Peter isn't finished yet. The second thing we notice, he said, remember God's gift. Now, if you would, look back with me in verse number 4. The Bible said, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. Now, Peter says we're recipients of an inheritance. I've discussed that many times, and people know everything about an inheritance. They think if somebody's about to die or somebody will die one day, that they'll get an inheritance left. And sometimes yes and sometimes no. It's just according perhaps maybe how things went. But the fact of it is, many times there's an inheritance that's left behind. Our inheritance is quite different. Our inheritance in the Lord is quite different than our inheritance from our family. He said to an inheritance that is incorruptible and undefiled. We have an inheritance provided by one who did die, but he now lives, and he's alive forevermore. As children of God, though, rather than fighting over the inheritance, we ought to be sharing the inheritance with everybody we can find. It ought not to be somebody said, well, I want to get all I can get. Well, I tell you, when you get saved and get born again, you'll get all you ever want and all you ever need, and you'll get to spend eternity with the Lord Jesus Christ. What else could you want? And why in the world would you not want other people to have the same thing you have? What a wonderful blessing it is to see people get saved and born again. Jesus has mentioned us in his last will and testament. That's what Peter's telling us. He's left us an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled. His description warrants a little deeper investigation. We find our inheritance can't be destroyed, incorruptible, not liable to corruption nor decay, imperishable. Everything we have down here will one day, it'll pass off. But the Bible says heaven and earth will never pass away. However, we know heaven, he talks about the things that we have. Heaven and earth will pass away. Well, I'll get it straight in a minute. You know what I'm talking about. Heaven's not going to pass away, but he's given us all these things for us to enjoy in the future, and there's no one that can take those away. It's beyond the reach of the sinner. The Bible said in Matthew 6, verse 19 through 20, lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through and steal. I tell you today, our inheritance can't be destroyed. Your stock market can be wiped out in a day. Your bank account can be wiped out in a day. Your house, I was reading this morning about a house, this was back in 81, down in Winter Haven, Florida, of a sinkhole. A lady was sitting in her living room when the earth opened up, and they dropped several hundred feet down into the earth, into cavities that was there. My, she never knew that was coming. But friend, today, we never know what tomorrow holds. But thank God we know who holds tomorrow. Our inheritance can't be destroyed. I tell you, she lost her house. She lost everything she had. But if you've got an inheritance in heaven, you'll never lose it. It's always there. Our inheritance cannot be defiled. He tells us that in verse 4. It's incorruptible, is undefiled. It means it cannot be soiled or stained. Heaven, unlike this world, has been wrecked and ruined by sin. It's untouchable by defilement, by things which have destroyed the world. And today we find that happening all around about, that all these things are going on. But friend, today God is still the same yesterday, today, and forever. None of the wretched evils which mar this earth will rear their ugly heads in heaven. You know why there's not going to be any sin in heaven? There's not going to be any lost people in heaven. There's not going to be any evil in heaven. It's going to be a perfect place where we're going to dwell forever and forever and ever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that will be glory for every one of us who are saved by His marvelous grace. I love Revelation 21 verse 4. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. In Revelation 21:27, and there shall in no wise enter into anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but that which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Our inheritance cannot be destroyed. Our inheritance cannot be defiled. Our inheritance cannot be decayed. The Bible says it fadeth not away. It's incorruptible and defiled that fadeth not away. It cannot be decayed. All the great sights and possessions of this world are subject to decay. Everything in this world will one day decay. It may, if it's metal, it'll rust. If it's paper, it may even disintegrate. Things happen, but all the things here, but when we get to heaven, our inheritance is going to be forever and ever, and it'll never fade away. They say in the ancient times that people grew olive trees. And we know they did because the land of Israel is known for the olive trees. But this is quite interesting. I didn't know this till I was reading it. But it took 23 years for an olive tree to mature to fruit-bearing age. 23 years. That's waiting a long time for your inheritance, isn't it? Because that's exactly what they did. They would give the olive trees and the fields of olive trees to their children as an inheritance. They did not get it immediately, perhaps, but they would get it when it began bearing fruit, because they'd have to wait to that very time. We find because the olives could bring such a large sum of money, olive trees were often left as an inheritance, and the children were glad to get it because it was so worthwhile and so expensive. It was so blessed to them what they could get out of it. But unlike the inheritance here on earth, the truth of it is the inheritance we get here is really just ours temporarily. We may spend it all at one time, but if we try to hang on to it, one day we're going to die. And that inheritance, oh, you say, well, I'll pass it on to my children. And I'm sure people have used it down the road, and I'm not saying it's a bad thing. I think it's a good thing. But I'm just saying the inheritance you get down here is just temporary. It's just for a little while, and then you're going to pass away. But I hope that you're not depending on your inheritance down here, but you're depending on your inheritance up there, that God will save you and keep you. Today, we find that the word reserved in heaven means it's guarded. It means, translated, would mean kept under lock and key. There's nothing can take it away. Heaven is sure for the believer. Friend, heaven is not a myth. Can I say that hell is not a myth either? There's no inheritance in hell. At least what you're going to inherit in hell is not a very worthy inheritance. It's something you don't want. But today, simply by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, being saved by the grace of God, you too can get a piece of the inheritance today in knowing that you're going to go home to be with Him. Remember God's grace, remember God's gift, and then look at verse 5. Remember God's guarantee. He said, and I love this verse, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last times. The word kept means garrisoned, protected by a military guard. A garrison within the city. The power that keeps us is not a wall around us, but it's the Holy Spirit that lives inside of us. And today the power keeps us, resides in us, and I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. The child of God has much better protection than anybody in this world. The president has the Secret Service, and they're close by. But can I tell you today, we've got better protection than the president. We've got better protection than the governor. We've got better protection of people in this world. If you're saved by the grace of God, we've got the protection of the Spirit of God that will keep us and watch over us. The Bible is clear when it teaches us that no one who has received Jesus as their personal Savior will ever have to worry about losing their salvation. I'm not worried about it. I can tell you today, beyond reservation or hesitation, I'm saved by the grace of God. I'm on my way to heaven. Not because I did anything to deserve it, but all because I trusted in what He did for me, that He gave me. We're kept by the power of God. We can always rest in confidence and knowledge that God, what God begins, He finishes. In Philippians 1:6, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. A born-again believer, listen to me, a born-again believer cannot lose their salvation. If they ever had it, they can't lose it. I don't care who you are, but you just got to be sure that you got it. The Bible teaches us that, and we need to understand if you're not saved, then you're so sure that of heaven, but you're not saved, you're going to miss things when it comes down upon us. In verse 5, he's talking about readers that are partakers of salvation, which extends beyond the turmoil of our day. Somebody said, are you fearful of something happening? Things happening, war, bombs. Are you worried about that? Be honest with you, I'm not. I don't like to think about it. I think of the catastrophe that they would all cause and things happen. But friend, today my hope is not in what this world has to offer. My hope is in Jesus Christ. Has it become clear to you today that if you're saved, you're saved forever? Salvation, as I mentioned earlier, is by grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. He said in Ephesians 1:13-14, we're sealed until the day of our redemption. I was at the grocery store yesterday picking up a couple of things, and there was a man in front of me, and he had some, I guess they were mason jars. They were jars for canning. And he told the cashier as she was checking him out, he said, I'm fixing to start doing some canning. I've never done it before, but I'm going to start doing some canning. I said all that to say this. I've never canned, but I've watched my grandmother can. And they used to can with wax seal. And I remember I used to like to hear the tops when they popped, you know, when they sealed. But what that mean is, it's sealed. That stuff's good, I guess, forever. I don't know. But people eat jelly after years and years. You know why? Because it's been sealed. When Jesus Christ saved us, I tell you what, that seal popped, and they ain't nobody. I tell you, sometimes trying to open them sealed jars is a task, but it can be done. But I tell you, God's seal will never be cracked. It'll never be broken. You'll never get it open. The seal remains intact until you're finally ready to partake of whatever's in the jar. And friend, I'm telling you, I'm sealed until the day God calls me home. And I'm telling you, I'm going to enter into the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that I've been saved and born again. I'm going to live with Him forever. And there's nothing, you hear me, there's nothing that can take that away from Him. Since I'm saved by grace, I'm sealed by the Spirit, I'm secured by the power of the Father, who are kept by the power of God. I was saved when I trusted Christ. I'm still in the process. My salvation is not totally complete, although I'm secure. But I'm being saved and I live each day, and I'll be saved when I arrive in heaven. And that's what sanctification is all about anyway, is drawing closer to God. And since God never makes any mistakes, we have nothing to fear. What He says He will do, His guarantee is positive. His guarantee is precious. His guarantee is promised to those of us who put our faith in Him. God will keep those whom He saved. God will personally see all His children make it safely home. I've started on the journey. I'm not turning back, and I'm going to trust him. You know what? If the news depresses you, I'd say don't watch it. But I can tell you this, rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ, because he is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And what a blessing it is today for our hope to be in him. Learn to praise God for who he is in Jesus. Learn to praise God for who are saved, who saved your soul. Learn to praise God for what you have in him. And praise God for where you're going when you die. If we learn that secret, we can rejoice. Been praying for some folks that have been going through some depression. And it's something that's real and it's something very difficult. But friend, I say today, lift up your heads. Our redemption draweth nigh. And you have every reason in the world to rejoice in the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in control of the situation.